Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Norma Mintz, and today we will be studying Daniel Perek Hay, Chapter 5. Yesterday we learned the fourth parak, in which Nebuchadnezzar dreams another dream, one in which a great tree is cut down to a stump. Daniel hesitantly tells Nebuchadnezzar that the tree symbolizes Nebuchadnezzar and his fall from grace that is bound to occur. Though Daniel advises him to give charity to protect himself, which Nebuchadnezzar does. After 1 year, however, Nebuchadnezzar haughtily glories in his power and empire, and the dream comes to fruition, as Nebuchadnezzar seems to lose his senses, behaving as an animal. However, 7 years later, Nebuchadnezzar looks heavenward and recognizes God's role in his successes, after which his reason is restored. In Perek Hay, we meet Belshazzar, king of Babel. We should not confuse this person with Belteshazzar, the Babylonian name that was given to Daniel in Perek Aleph, Perek 1 of Daniel. Belshazzar will be the final king of Babel, and his reign is not very long, which should be a clue to us that the 12 Prakim of Daniel will not all be sequential and chronological. As this Perek opens, we find the king in the midst of a party. 1,000 of his lords are celebrating with him with drink, and the text tells us in verse 2, Belshazzar Amar Bit'em Chamra Lahaitaya Lamane Dehava Vekaspa Dihanpek Nebuchadnezzar Ahuvi Min Hechla Di Birushalem Vishton Bahon Malka Verav Revanohi Verav Revanohiya Sheglate Ulechenate. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his consorts and his concubines, might drink therein. Belshazzar decides that his party will be enhanced with the kelim, or vessels, of the Beit HaMikdash, so he has them brought to the festivities so that everyone will drink from them. This story may feel very familiar, as it may remind many of the first parak of Megillat Esther. At the same time, it is very important to remember that this story precedes Megillat Esther. In fact, as we will see, this very day may be the transition to the Persian Empire. What is more, whereas the use or debasement of the vessels of the temple is apparent from the psukim in our parak of Daniel, it is only a midrashic allusion in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Chazal established that the words v'kelim mikelim shonim should be read with the chup of Eicha in order to reflect the midrash that Achashverosh uses the temple vessels. There are other parallels as well. According to the Gemara in Megillah 11a, this party is a celebration as a victory over an earlier prophecy of Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu Perek 25, verse 11, the Navi states that the Jews will serve Babel for 70 years. The Gemara therefore describes that Belshazzar had calculated the length of the Jews' captivity, which he understood to be 70 years, so he triumphantly established this party to celebrate the failure of the prophecy to have been actualized. Rashi adds that he was so certain because he had been war with Persia, but had emerged victorious from the battle earlier that day, so he believed that to be evidence that he overcame the prophecy. Spoiler alert, he is celebrating a bit too early. As a general note of historical context, Chazal identify only three Babylonian kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Evil-Merodach, and Belshazzar. Much of the chronology that Chazal understand from this time comes from the Midrashic work Seder Olam Rabbah, and its presentation is the basis for Belshazzar's calculations in this passage, for instance. Historical records do identify additional kings, and there are a number of ways to approach this contradiction. As a general approach, it is always important to remember that while Tanakh depicts the history of our people, its intent is primarily to teach us messages rather than to transcribe historical records. In our case, the Tanakh only directly mentions the three Babylonian kings that Chazal address. Rav Yaakov Meidan, Rosh Yeshivat Har Etzion, explains that Chazal's teachings in this regard should be viewed as being based solely on a close examination of the actual text of the Tanakh. But to return to the motivations for Belshazzar's party, we find that Chazal attribute the very same motivation to Achashverosh. On the next page of the Gemara, Achashverosh is described as recognizing that Belshazzar miscalculated the 70 years and resolving himself not to similarly make a mistake. He decides that Belshazzar erred in counting the 70 years of the Babylonian kingship, whereas he should have counted the 70 years of exile, So Achashverosh decides confidently that the 70 years of Yirmiyahu's prophecy have now truly passed, which is why he throws his party. Now, why is there such a strong correlation between Belshazzar and Achashverosh? We will return to that question after we understand the story a little better. As the partygoers revel, there is a surprising disturbance. Ba sha'ata nefaka etzba'an diyad enash, v'katvan l'kabel nevrashta al gira diktal hechla dimalka, umalka chazeh pasyeda dikatva. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the palm of the hand that wrote. A disembodied hand, or perhaps only some fingers, appears midair and writes a series of words on the wall, which serves as the basis for the expression, the writing on the wall. Belshazzar becomes extremely frightened, with the text describing in verse 6, "Then the king's countenance was changed in him, and his thoughts affrighted him, and the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote one against one another." He calls upon his ministers to explain the mysterious words, promising riches and honors to anyone who can explain the puzzling image, but no one is able to read the words. The meaning of this difficulty is somewhat hard to understand. Why can no one understand the text? When Daniel will explain it in a few more psukim, it does not seem impossibly undecipherable. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 22a gives four different reasons why the text could not be understood, such as the letters being written vertically instead of horizontally or backwards. In any event, it seems that this event is miraculous, first for the impressive spectacle that makes an impression on all those present, but also for the way it will give another opportunity for Daniel to emerge as the savior for the problem. This is especially the case since it seems that Daniel may have been forgotten. When we last saw Daniel, he was a senior minister for Nebuchadnezzar. We are now many years later, and it is striking that Belshazzar does not look for Daniel to solve this mystery. In fact, it is the Malkita, the queen, who thinks to ask Daniel. And the Mefarshim generally understand that this is not Belshazzar's wife, but either his mother or grandmother. She explains that there is a man by the name of Daniel who rose to greatness in the time of Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar, who was given a high position and who was talented at interpreting dreams. And she encourages Belshazzar to solicit his expertise. The Perek mentions a few times that Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's father, though Chazal generally understood him to be his grandfather, but in Tanakh the word father often just indicates a predecessor, and it does not have to be a literal understanding. When Daniel arrives, he does not mince words in his response. First, he reviews the events we just learned in Perek Dalet, Perek 4, and he compares Belshazzar to Nebuchadnezzar, particularly disparaging Belshazzar for not learning from Nebuchadnezzar to humble himself, and to recognize that everything comes from God. Daniel then identifies the mysterious writing and explains in verses 25 through 28. Mene, mene, tekel ufarsin. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and you are found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The writing on the wall is announcing the end of the Babylonian kingdom and the rise of the Mede and soon after, the Persian Empire. As we have seen in the other court tales of Daniel, he is celebrated and rewarded for his wisdom and talent, even though his message is not particularly favorable. But the text does not spend much time discussing this. The Perek immediately closes with the fate of Belshazzar in Pasuk 30, Be belelak til Belshazzar malka kasta'a. In that night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. Indeed, Belshazzar decided to celebrate a few hours too early, as he is killed, and the Babylonian kingdom ceases, with the Gemara and Megillah teaching that Darius the Mede took the throne. With this narrative in mind, I would like to return to the story of Achashverosh. Why is this first parak of Esther written in such a way to recall the events of this parak? Why is there such a strong connection between the figures of Achashverosh and Belshazzar? I believe the answer lies in the rebuke of Daniel. Daniel scornfully criticizes Belshazzar for his arrogance and for his obsession with his own power and greatness, whereas he should have learned the moral of humility from Nebuchadnezzar. Somewhat comically, Belshazzar even revels in his self-congratulatory use of the temple vessels, when of course those vessels were not an acquisition of his own, but that of Nebuchadnezzar from when he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Megillat Esther thus sets up these allusions to draw notice to Achashverosh's shallow tendency to find his self-worth in his riches and power. It is this characterization that sets the stage for the events of Megillat Esther. As he is the one who's easily manipulated and has very little in the way of his own ideas and accomplishments. So if we are to learn from this, we must instead focus our energies on recognizing self-worth that does not result from our power or even from our own successes. Every one of us is valuable, even on days when we do not find approval from others or a great achievement. When we prosper, rather than patting ourselves on the back, we must turn our attentions to God, thanking him for all that he gives us. At the same time, this message perhaps can also be of relief to us when we fail, as in those moments we can also turn to God, recognizing that he is with us and that he loves us in all times, and that through our human failings we can grow and move forward. Today we learn the fifth parak of Daniel. In this parak, Belshazzar, the final king of Babel, throws a big party, boldly drinking from the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. Suddenly, a hand seems to write letters on the wall, and Belshazzar becomes petrified, demanding the meaning of this vision. Daniel is called, and he criticizes Belshazzar for his hubris and his lack of recognition of Hashem, and then explains that the words predict that Babel's reign will end, and the kingdoms of Mede and Persia will take hold. The prophecy comes to fruition later that night when Belshazzar is killed. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.